Nine ways. ऐसे भक्तवृंद सांस्कृत प्रभुपाद की इसकान स्तंभ चारिश्र प्रभुपाद की रंगराज श्रीमद भागवत राम की श्री श्रीमताय गौर हरि की श्री श्रीमताय सचि सूत्र की संकीर्तन यज्ञ की गोपन रंदे All glories to the Samothavati. All glories to the Samothavati. All glories to the Samothavati. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, Text 30. Janma karma cha vishvatmam, ajasya kartur atmana, teryan rishishu yadasu, tad atyanta vidambana. Translation. Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inept, and that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. Purport by Shiva. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering, but also apparently contradictory. In other words, they are all inconceivable to the limited thinking power of the human being. The Lord is the all-prevailing supersoul of all existence, and yet he appears in the form of a boar amongst the animals, in the form of a human being, as Ram, Krishna, etc., in the form of a rishi, like Narayan, and in the form of an aquatic, like a fish. Yet it is said that he is unborn, and he has nothing to do. In the Shruti Mantra, it is said that the Supreme Brahman has nothing to do. No one is equal to or greater than him. He has manifold energies, and everything is performed by him perfectly, by automatic knowledge, strength, and activity. All these statements prove, without any question, that the Lord's activities, forms, and deeds are all inconceivable to our limited thinking power. And because he is inconceivably powerful, everything is possible in him. Therefore, no one can calculate him exactly. Every action of the Lord is bewildering to the common man. He cannot be understood by the Vedic knowledge, but he can be easily understood by the pure devotees, because they are intimately related with him. The devotees therefore know that although he appears amongst the animals, he is not an animal, nor a man, nor a rishi, nor a fish. He is eternally the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. Janma karma cha vishvatmam, ajasya kartur atmana, teryan rishishu yadasu, tadatyanta vidambana. Of course it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, and that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. Om Gyan Kilan Sya Gyan Anjana Shalaka Chakshamana Tanyana Tasmai Shri Guru Vandana Sri Chitanagana Vishnam Stakitamyana Bhutane Swayam Rupa Padama and Tadati Swayam. Panchakalpatrubhya Sakripa Sindhudhyanaja Paditanam Havanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasti Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, Queen Kunti is continuing her prayers to Lord Krishna as the Lord is about to leave Hastinapura following the battle of Kurukshetra to return to Dwarka. So, Queen Kunti is feeling in advance, practically, the pangs of separation from the Lord. The Lord is still there, but within her mind, she is now realizing what the implications will be of the Lord leaving. When the Lord leaves, then their security, their happiness, and their just all-round auspicious situation is going to be affected very drastically. Very, very drastically when Lord Krishna goes. So, therefore, Queen Kunti is expressing that. Ultimately, she's going to express that she doesn't want Krishna to go. And she's going to appeal to him not to go. And, in fact, he will accede to her appeal, to her request. And he will not go. He will stay on for a little while. So he will stay on, actually, for a few more months. This is going to be the outcome. But, basically, Queen Kunti is expressing her feeling in advance that if you are going to go, then our position, which has become so auspicious and everything has changed, actually, from being very terrible situation to most wonderful, victorious situation, practically unimaginable because of your presence. But now, if you're going to go, then what will happen? What will be our fate? So, in these verses then, she is building up to appealing to Krishna then, in those terms. She is building up to appeal to Krishna not to go. And in the course of doing that, she is trying to establish and validate her point that your presence is very, very important. And you are very important and very wonderful. And your presence in our midst is so important to us, who are your devotees, that you should be compassionate upon us. You should be compassionate and consider our plight, which will come if you leave, and not leave. So in order to appeal to Krishna like this, she is beginning by glorifying Krishna. She is not simply some highly emotional person who, if some situation like this arises, where someone who is very dear appears to be leaving, or some separation is very imminent. So Queen Kunti is not just like some sentimental type of person on the material platform who simply breaks down and starts crying and begging, please don't go. She'll come to that appealing, please don't go, heartfelt appeal also. But it is not that she just simply becomes overwhelmed by some material sentiments. We see this in funerals often, or every time, almost, perhaps every time, that the immediate relatives of the deceased, in the great, great majority of cases, they become so overwhelmed and break down, and even go through certain motions as if they are somehow thinking that the deceased is not deceased, or might not be deceased, some last attempt to wake them up or something like that. So we've seen this many times. Yes. But, so this is a material platform. Generally on the material platform, everyone is very selfishly minded. So if someone, so if there's some separation like that, then they're simply thinking in terms of me. How does it affect me? So if it doesn't affect me, I won't cry. But if it affects me, I will cry. Selfish considerations. But here we see Queen Kunti, she's not like that. And even though Krishna's leaving, and even though Krishna's so extremely dear to her, he is her favorite nephew. She has such a deep, loving relationship with Krishna. But we see that before she makes her appeal, that you please don't go, she is glorifying Krishna very nicely to establish the point that he shouldn't go on not just an emotional basis, but some practical basis in terms of transcendental philosophy. Yes, so this is the nature of the great devotees. In fact, the same or very similar type of situation has just arisen just a few verses before. In that, Uttara, just immediately after the Battle of Kurukshetra, she was pregnant. Maharaj Parikshit was within her womb, and he was actually the last descendant. I mean, he would be the last descendant of the whole dynasty, because the Pandavas' children were all dead. So Ashwatthama released one Brahmastra to kill Maharaj Parikshit within the womb. And Uttara also appealed to Krishna. In her case, she appealed to Krishna, please save this child. Please protect the child within my womb. So she appealed like this. And certainly for a mother, at least a nice mother, who may be pregnant, the possibility of losing a child like that is very, very distressing. So, she appealed to Krishna there, please protect this child within my womb. But just like Queen Kunti, she did not break down and become emotional and just start begging and pleading with tears in the eyes. She also glorified Krishna. You are like this, you are like that, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then she requested, now this weapon is coming, this Brahmastra, so you please protect. So Queen Kunti is doing that so nicely. And we can see she is a great philosopher, she is a great poet, she is just a very special person, making her different points in glorification of Krishna very beautifully. So here, in this verse, Queen Kunti is talking about certain apparent contradictions. In fact, this verse is immediately following the verse that we read here the night before last, the immediate next verse. And Queen Kunti, in this verse, and a few more verses, she will explain, well actually, this verse and the next verse. She will explain in different ways, using different examples, how Krishna is bewildering to the non-devotees. Krishna is bewildering. He does something, it seems like he is in one way, then he does another thing which makes it appear that he is in another way and in contradiction. So, in this way, Queen Kunti is explaining here to Lord Krishna her realizations in terms of him being bewildered in regard to some contradictory activity. So, in the purport of Srila Prabhupada, is making the point that actually to understand Krishna is not easy. Of course, we know the materialistic people, they cannot understand Krishna. He is very enigmatic for them. So therefore, Lord Krishna says, avajananti mam mudha. Manasim talamasrita palambhava majananto. Mama bhuta maheshvara. Fools deride me when I descend in my human-like form. They do not know my transcendental nature, which is unborn and infallible. Yes. So, on the whole, the people in general, they are confused about Krishna. But what to speak of them? But even here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, of course he is referring to one statement in Brahma Samhita, where Lord Brahma says, Vedeshu Duralabham Adulabham Atmavat. That Krishna is very hard to understand, even by studying the Vedas. Although it is possible, in fact it is easy, by pure devotional service. So, what to speak of those who are simply non-devotees and who have no interest in Vedic scripture and who may not even know of the existence of Vedic scripture at all? So what to speak of them? But even people who are great Vedic scholars, they may find Krishna confusing. So in fact, that's that particular statement from Lord Brahma is making the point very clearly that it is actually only by devotional service that one can understand Krishna. There is no other way. Bhaktiya tananyaya sakya hamevam vidorjana yatam drashtum chatatvena praveshtum cha parantaka. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes the point that he says, I can be understood only by pure devotional service. And in that way, I can be seen before you, standing before you. I can be seen directly. In this way you can enter into the transcendental mysteries of my understanding. So, this is the point in devotional service, that ultimately there is no question of academics helping. There's no question of whether a person is particularly intelligent materially or less intelligent materially. There is no question, even in cultural terms. The only question is one developing in devotional service? And the more one develops in devotional service, the more one understands Krishna more and more and more clearly. And in this way, one advances in Krishna consciousness. So, as aspiring devotees, we should be quite clear on this point, that in order to benefit myself, in order to progress on this path of devotional service, I need to become more and more absorbed in devotional activities. Of course, there are so many devotional activities, beginning with chanting our vows, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, associating with the devotees, living in a sanctified place, accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. These are all very important factors. Different types of activities in devotional service. So, in order to make progress in understanding Krishna, in order to make progress in Krishna consciousness in general, then as aspiring devotees, we have to apply ourselves tearfully to these particular activities. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says, Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Maturavas Srimurtiya Shraya Seva. That there are five activities which are particularly important: associating with devotees, chanting the holy names of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, living in Mathura or some sacred place where the Lord is being worshipped, and worshipping the deity with faith and dedication. Lord Chaitanya explains that if one performs even just one of these activities, even if one does it without faith, in other words, not in a particularly advanced way, even if one does it without faith, but as long as one does it without offenses, then Lord Chaitanya says that even one of these activities performed like this, it may be sufficient, it can be sufficient to bring one to the level of bhava immediately. In other words, one's progress can be accelerated by focusing on even one of these activities. Not to speak of focusing on all five, or at least more than one, or even all five. So these are our fundamental activities in devotional service. Associating with the devotees, we have to learn how to associate nicely with the devotee. Sometimes that may not be easy, because we are conditioned, the other devotees are also conditioned. Sometimes some interpersonal difficulties may arise. That is not difficult. Very easy for some problem to arise, even with another devotee. But as aspiring devotees, we should know that I have to cultivate my association with the devotees very carefully, very nicely. Chanting the holy names, we have to chant without offenses. This is very important. Practically the first of all of our activities, to chant the holy names, but not simply just chant without offenses. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to study his books generally at least half an hour to an hour a day. And then the mind becomes immersed. The intellect, it is one thing for the eyes to become immersed in seeing the form of the Lord, the ears to become immersed by chanting the holy name. It's another thing for the intellect, the intelligence, to become absorbed by studying the philosophy and the different narrations in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, Maturavas, to live in a sanctified place, not some ordinary place where ordinary activities are going on, and due to those ordinary activities, a mundane atmosphere is being created, but to live in a place where the only focus is on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is actually being directly worshipped there as such. So one should make one's living place like that. And Srimurtiya Shraya Sevam, in such a place, one should then worship the deity attentively, nicely, with faith, dedication, great veneration. So if one does like this, then one will find Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janiyat Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haidukam. Then one renders devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva, the best of one's ability, in fact. Then, causelessly, understanding and detachment arise within the heart. Causelessly. Without having to make some particular extraneous endeavor, how to become more knowledgeable, stretching the brain, how to understand speculating like that, without making any effort like that. And without making any particular effort, how to renounce this, renounce that, give up so many things, without these things. Without these efforts, extraneous efforts, then these very wonderful things, transcendental within the heart, and who appreciates the endeavors of his devotees to try to serve him. So Krishna will kindly cause these things to develop, to unfold within the heart. In this way, one will advance in Krishna consciousness. And these things, which Queen Kunti says, are apparently bewildering. That Krishna works although he's inactive. That he takes birth although he's the unborn. That he descends amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics, in all the different species of life, in all sorts of different forms. So this is all, she is saying, bewildering to the non-devotees, but if we cultivate these activities in Krishna consciousness very nicely, then this causeless knowledge and detachment will arise within the heart, and one will be able to understand these things. And as we mentioned the other night, in regard to the cobbler and the Brahmin story with Narada Muni, that the devotees can they can resolve these apparent contradictions not just on the basis of a sentiment that we just turn a blind eye to something we don't understand. Not like that. But actually one will get the transcendental realization and inspiration from within the heart to understand, just like that cobbler. He understood very nicely, philosophically, and it was scientifically correct. How the Lord can pass an elephant through the eye of a needle. Yes. So like this, if we try to render devotional service very nicely, then by the mercy of the Lord, these apparently bewildering subject matters will become not just not bewildering, and not just that the devotee can understand, but they become special embellishments. They reveal glorious aspects of the Lord's nature, which the devotee is not simply able just to understand, but the devotee relishes and appreciates, and in this way becomes even more attached to the Lord. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
Devotional service and potency. If you do arti to a photograph of Krishna and Radha, or doing arti to the deities, is it the same?
It's the same. It is the same, but it's different. Our philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We're not just monists, but there are differences within the oneness. Offering arati or taking prasadam, different categories of prasadam. So these types of functions, these types of activities, the potency will vary according to different factors. Generally, if one is offering arati to the installed deities, there is a greater purifying effect from that. And generally, if one takes mahaprasadam, which has been offered directly to the installed deities, there's greater potency in that. But there are also other factors, like what is the state of mind of the person who's offering the arati. Or even it may be the same person, but offering arati in one situation, then in another, somehow the devotee may be in different consciousness in the two different places. Somehow it may be that the devotee uh, is worshipping the installed deity but is in very bad consciousness, some major disturbance may be there in the mind. So the benefit in doing that will be less than offering arati just to a picture, but in very nice consciousness. So there are these factors. But it is a fact that arati performed in the same consciousness before pictures or before installed deities, that there's more potency before deities. Yeah. So therefore we encourage that if devotees, that devotees who have second initiation, they should do that. They should take advantage of the opportunity to worship the installed deity. Yes. It is obviously a much more special situation because you need special second initiation. Otherwise you're not allowed to do it. Anyone can have some pictures and offer it. So it's obviously a much higher phenomenon or thing.
One has deity in the throne, one should not leave the house empty or go anywhere without it.
Well, not necessarily. But the deity should be safe. If it's a high risk area, then they might have to be hidden away or something like that.
Or could you take them with
you? Or you could take them with you, yes. But when you take them with you, have to, at the place you're going to, be able to put them in some reasonably nice position. You'd probably be able to do it. There are devotees, quite a number of devotees, who travel with deities. Yeah. But the main things are punctuality and cleanliness. The deities are not just there as just for us. They're there to be served. So we should make sure that, you know, in other words, when we go away somewhere, we should take the deities with us, ideally. Yeah, otherwise it's kind of like, not really so good, basically. Just, you know, at our convenience, we may tell the deities to sleep for some weeks, you know, like that. First we're calling them. Just imagine calling a person and then you tell them, oh, that's okay. Then they come especially for you. You know, they go out of their way. Then after a while you say, oh, that's okay. We'll get back to you. So deity worship is really a serious thing, and there's definitely a tendency to underestimate it or not appreciate sufficiently the need for being extremely responsible. And actually what Prabhupada preferred was that householders, unless they're living in a really remote place where they just can't come to the temple, hardly, then Prabhupada preferred that householders worship the temple deities. Did he say that? Well, if you do, you should be very careful to try and maintain a nice standard. You know, it will, if it's to be done properly, it will entail coming up to a higher standard in general. It's to be done properly. You know, it's not just a sentimental thing. Can't defeat them or somehow or other defuse them. if they remain persistent, then just get away. Now you might be able to defuse them by changing the subject, and that way, you know, move them in the direction of doing some service. But if you can't defuse them, and if you know, if they remain blasphemous, and if you can't get them to engage in some service, they definitely get away. What would be the point of not getting away? Bad things.
Go out of their way to do just that.
They go to hell.
So these people from the past life,
they're demons. Or something like that. Therefore they're born in that type of situation where their demoniac nature is encouraged. And then they become demons again, or even more demons.
So the demons are much subterranean
and in some do, because they're very pious. Some
demons.
Right, some of them. Even though they're anti-God. Or they may perform austerities. They're different ways of earning enjoyment. They earn it, otherwise they wouldn't have it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.